All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Man, it's good to see some people here, especially in light of the fact that Marvin's speaking on the other end of the expo. Because if I was just attending and not speaking, that's where I would be. I'm glad you're here. We are going to hit the ground running. You should have one of these. This is a handout for what I'm going to be doing today. If I'm not able to cover all of this material, what I'm going to try to do is make this class available for download. Okay? At least with, if nothing else, at least with your handout that'll have all the things that you need to fill in, okay? It'll be on my website, which is right here, heroicimpact.com, as Scott said. My wife, Ginger, and I have developed some teacher training courses that we do. What you're getting today is a nutshell of one of them. Becoming a high-impact teacher was actually developed to be a full-day, six-hour workshop, and you're getting the 40-minute version, okay? So enjoy it, but fasten your seatbelts because we're going to start moving here pretty quickly, okay? This is yours? Okay. You need handouts. They're right here, okay? You too. Here's what we're going to try to accomplish today. Hopefully by within the next 40 minutes, you will be encouraged and at least a little bit better equipped as volunteer teachers in the church to be a high-impact teacher, because our belief is that high-impact teachers can literally change the world. And I want to emphasize that. High-impact teachers can literally change the world. So the first thing we're going to do is a little bit of a self-assessment, okay? On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd like to know where you currently are on both of those concepts. On a scale of 1 to 10, how encouraged are you right now in your teaching ministry? Do you feel pretty encouraged? Do you feel relatively discouraged? You circle that number on there because we're going to, hopefully if we have time, we'll use that a little bit. Where would you mark yourself down? Discouraged? Maybe you're not even right now, maybe you don't even have enough courage to step into a classroom, much less teach one. Or maybe on the other end you're at a level 10. All right, what about equipped? How equipped do you feel like you are to teach right now where you are? Do you feel equipped? Maybe you're thinking that's why I'm here. Or somewhere in between, maybe you feel relatively equipped. Now, what I'd like for you to do is take about 2 minutes and turn toward the people that are sitting next to you. And what I'd like for you to do is explain why you chose the numbers you chose. Take about 2 minutes. Explain to the people around you why you chose the numbers that you chose. Okay. Scott said if I could actually hold the handheld mic, it would be a little better. Is that a little better? Yeah. These handheld mics generally are a little better quality. Just they can pack more stuff into the bigger casing here, I think. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to call success for the workshop basically any little move to the right. And that's what we're trying to do in the next 40 minutes is take those two concepts, how encouraged you are and how equipped you feel, and hopefully at least in one of those categories, actually hopefully in both of them, in the next 40 minutes, you'll feel like you're moving just a little bit to the right, okay? That's what we're going to call success for the workshop. So let's see if this is what I'm hoping to do, at least to some degree for you today, is to cheer you on in your teaching ministry. But even more significantly than that is I want you to take this concept of encouraging and equipping and take it back to your church. That is what our ministry is all about at Heroic Impact with Ginger and I. And what we're trying to do is not just to cheer you on as teachers, but to help and encourage and equip you as the cheerleaders for your teachers. And take this idea and take it back with you, take it back to your church, and encourage, and hopefully a lot of these things will make an impact, not just for you personally, but for your whole ministry. First thing I want to do here, the next thing I want to do is I want you to think of one teacher that you've had that has made a significant and positive impact on your life. It doesn't have to be a religious setting. It can be any teacher. Maybe it was your seventh grade math teacher. Maybe it was your gym coach. Maybe it was your college professor. Maybe it's your preacher. You think about who that person is. Most of us don't have a hard time thinking of who that one person is that made a big difference in our life. Think about who that person is. Write their name in the blank, because here's what we're going to do. With that one person in mind, tell me, what are the characteristics of a high-impact teacher? Let's have some feedback. With that one person in mind, thinking about their character, what would you say are the characteristics of a high-impact teacher? Energy. A high level of contact with your audience. Knowledge of the subject. Passion. Positive attitude. Patience. Creativity. Anything else? All right, now that you've talked a little bit about the character of that person, here's what I want you to do next. With that one person in mind, think of all of the actual lessons that you learned from that person. What were the specific things that that person taught you? Maybe you can remember a 3-point outline that they gave, or maybe it's if it's your 7th grade math teacher, maybe you remember how they taught you beginning algebra. Of course, nowadays they're beginning algebra in the 3rd grade. Now let me ask this question. Which of those first two questions was easier for you to answer? Was it easier for you to talk about that person's character, or was it easier for you to talk about the specific lessons that they taught you? Character? The lessons? Let's do it this way. How many of you thought it's easier for you to speak of or think of that person's character? How many of you thought it was easier to think of the specific lessons? Okay, we have 3 or 4. Why do you think, for the most part, it's easier for us to think of that person's character? I'm sorry? It's how we identify them, okay? Yeah, that's pretty much the constant, isn't it? Okay? Their attitude is what really shines forth in everything they do, and it really... I'm not going to say it doesn't matter what they teach, because obviously it matters because they're passionate about it. But in terms of them making the impact that they made in your life, what really spoke to you, at least what really speaks to us in most cases, is not so much the 3 points that they give us on a Sunday morning, or the math homework, or the exercise routine if it was a gym teacher. What really spoke to us was their character. Now, here's the cool thing about that. What that tells me is we don't have to have degrees in education in terms of making a presentation or how to do this kind of methodology or how to come up with this kind of gimmick or that gimmick to really be a high-impact teacher. Because I kind of look at it this way. While teachers often focus on the content that they teach and their methods of teaching, over time, students mainly remember their character. Now, I don't know what you were expecting today to be like. If you were expecting today to be a lot about methodology, that's what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm going to talk more about methodology tomorrow. Today, what I'm going to talk about is what makes the methodology mean anything at all. And that is talking about the content of your character. And the great thing is that anybody who has a passion for students and anybody who has a passion for the Word of God can be a high-impact teacher, because it is those things that will develop the character that we need to be to make that kind of an impact. I don't know if you can see that or not. It's a Funky Winker Bean. Anybody remember Funky Winker Bean? I don't. But I happened to find this clip, okay? I'm too young for Funky Winkerbean. I remember Family Circle and Garfield and those. But anyway, I don't know. He's probably still in the paper. Is he still in the paper, Funky Winkerbean? He is in some? Okay. I don't read the funnies that much. Anyway, I like this one. A man comes to his teacher. He says, looking back on it, I really learned a lot in your algebra class, Mr. Collins. I learned about the value of hard work and integrity and striving for excellence. And then Mr. Collins asks, what about algebra? See, while we tend to focus on the content of what we teach, or sometimes even the methodology of how we deliver what we're teaching, over time, and I'm talking about making a high impact over time, not about giving a flashy presentation, over time, to make a high impact in the life of an individual or group of individuals, what those individuals really remember and what sticks with them is going to be the content of your character and how you can translate that into their lives. So that's the number one characteristic, and here's what we're doing today. We're looking at seven distinguishing characteristics of high-impact teachers. And I believe with all my heart that if these are characteristics that you will work on and develop in your life as a teacher, you will not be able to help but be a high-impact teacher. But here's the first one. High-impact teachers in the church focus first on building their spiritual character. And I know what the temptation is for me is to focus first on what my next outline is going to be. But high-impact teachers focus first on developing their own and building their own spiritual character. How many of you ever seen or heard of Howard Hendricks? Okay, if you haven't, he wrote a book called Teaching to Change Lives. It's an excellent book. I recommend it. If you don't have it, go out and find it. You'll be glad you did. In it, he said this: if you want to minister to others, ask God first of all to minister to you. He wants to work through you, but he can't until he works in you. So if you want to strengthen your teaching, then do everything in your power to strengthen the teacher, yourself. The fact bears repeating: what you are is far more important than what you say or do. And you can relate to this. Maybe you've had a teacher who said and did on the surface all of the right things, but what they were was not consistent with what they said or did. And I'll be willing to say that in most cases like that, that teacher may have delivered some good information, but was not capable because of their character, their spiritual character, to make a high and positive impact. Here's how Jesus put it, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. This is in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. So already you can see how Jesus is making the connection with how who we are is very, and what we do is connected very closely to what we teach. And then he says, but whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. The most important thing, I believe, and that's why it's here, number one, the first distinguishing characteristic of a high-impact teacher, is that we develop our own spiritual character, because if it's not coming from the overflow of our very lives, it's not going to have the kind of impact that we want it to be. Now, I'll be honest with you. You can still go into a classroom and deliver and make an excellent presentation. You'll still be able to do that. But if you want to be a high-impact teacher, you got to live what you teach. I like some of these quotes from Palmer in his book, The Courage to Teach. He said, good teaching comes from good people. Good teaching comes from good people. Good teaching cannot be reduced to technique. Good teaching comes from the identity and integrity of the teacher. And the last one here is my absolute favorite. Technique is what teachers use until the real teacher arrives. Anybody ever been guilty of that? Yeah. I know what, if your temptation is anything like mine, what you want to do, what you often find yourself wanting to do, is to go out there and find somebody who is a really good teacher and just
kind of spout off what they say and give the same kind of presentation that they give. And I'll be honest with you, you can do that, and it might, you know, deliver some really good information in a really good way to some people, but it's not going to make the kind of impact that you really want to make. The second characteristic is this. High-impact teachers in the church are people who have personally trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I know that's not necessarily real popular lingo in the Restoration. What we would want to say is high-impact teachers in the church are people who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you word that however you want to, but the reality of it is the same. Now, this almost seems like a no-brainer, doesn't it? That if you're going to make a big impact in your teaching in the church, you need to be somebody who has a relationship with God. You need to be saved. You need to have obeyed the gospel. It seems like a no-brainer, but that is especially true as we talk about us in our teaching context. It's important because, first of all, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ, you're not saved. And you're not going to make it to heaven, which is what we're really all of our goal anyway. But it's even more critical if you're going to put yourself in a teaching context. Why is that? Why is it critical? Not just for your own salvation, but what? What you just said, you can't lead people where you're not going. We cannot lead those we teach to where we are not. Jesus said it this way in Luke chapter 6 and 39. He said, can a blind man lead a blind man? And we all know the truth of that statement is, sure. A blind man can lead a blind man. Some of you have seen it happen. Some of you have been guilty of participating in the blind leading the blind. But what does Jesus say will happen? Fall into a pit. Will they not both fall into a pit? It is so important that we are working on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, if you were getting the full-scale 6-hour version of this workshop, what I would do next is actually give you as teachers 4 different tools for presenting the gospel to your students. I don't have time to do that. So what I do want you to do is take about 1 or 2 minutes, okay? Gather in a group if you want to, of 4 or 5, and here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like for you to share, at least one person in your group, to say, here's what I do to present the gospel of Jesus to the students in my class. Okay? I know many and most of you have had an opportunity to do this. What I'd like you to do is just share with each other a couple of methods that you've done. Maybe you remember and can go all the way back to Joel Miller. And that's the method that you have nailed down, and that's what you use. Maybe you use the spiritual life guides. Maybe you use the Roman road. Maybe you've devised your own way. But take about 2 minutes to share with each other what are the tools that you've used. Take some time to do that. Now, what I would normally do in a full-scale workshop is have each group share some of the tools or methods, and maybe somebody who has one that's unique or different or new that they've devised themselves, I would have you come up and on a chalkboard or marker board kind of outline for us what you do, and it would give everybody in here kind of a fresh idea of something you could do. Since I don't have time to do that, let me just give you this challenge, okay? It's kind of an assignment. Put in your arsenal, all right, or your tool belt. Maybe that's a better way to put it. That better? Put in your tool belt about 3 or 4 different things you can use. And here's why, because people are different. And not everybody's going to be able to relate to exactly the same method. And if you've got 3 or 4 different good tools that you can use for presenting the gospel of Jesus to people to lead them to Christ, then you're going to be that much better equipped. Are we there? A little better? All right, I'll just try to talk loud too. Is it working better than it was? Okay. Now I lost my train of thought. Okay. Yes. Okay, put 2 or 3 tools in your arsenal or tool belt because nobody's the same. Everybody is going to relate to a different kind of story, so be able to present it in different ways. Okay, that's going to be important for you to do.
I had another point I was going to make after that, and now I can't remember what it was. And it was a really important one. So what you should do is have me come and do the whole workshop. You won't miss it. All right, the third thing that is that high-impact teachers in the church are people who have a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, it's one thing to say that we have obeyed the gospel, and hopefully most of those in our churches can say that. It's another thing to say that we are actively working on making sure that we are evolving as Christians. Maybe the word evolve is not the best word to use there, but the idea is that we are continually growing. Jesus said this in Luke 6 and verse 40, "A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher." Okay? Everyone who is fully trained is like his teacher. Here's a good question. If everyone in your class that you teach, if their relationship was growing like your relationship with Christ is growing, where would their lives be 5 years from now? Now, I know they're not at the same level as you. Maybe they're up here, maybe they're down here. That's not really the point. If their relationship with Christ was growing at the same pace, at the same level as yours, where would they be 5 years from now? You see, we must be consistently growing spiritually if we desire to see spiritual growth in the people that we teach. If we're not growing, it won't take them long to figure out that they're not growing either. It won't take them long to figure out that we're stagnant and stale, and it will eventually become transparent. Hey, I mean, that's happened. It's happened to me. It's probably happened to some of you. You know, it's easy to get caught up in being busy. It's easy to get caught up in just trying to live as a teacher from one lesson to the next, one presentation to the next. But the reality is, those we teach will become like us. I got a video clip I want to show you that kind of illustrates the point. Hopefully you can see it. At least hear it. Oops. Let's try again. Again. There it is.
Hey, remember, oh, I'm gone. You're the man of the house, okay? Man of the house.
Okay, honey, give me a big smile.
To clean your room.
Put the games on.
Share your photos with anyone, anywhere.
You see, our little man has been quite busy.
Did you see this water bill?
Try it free. PhotoWorks.com.
You've seen it in the lives of your own children that they become like us. And when our students that we teach, that we have in our classroom, are watching us, they are formulating their opinions about Christianity based upon those who are teaching them what Christianity is about. They are formulating their opinions about God's Word based upon what those who are teaching them God's Word are saying and living and how they're growing in it. They are building and developing their opinions about church and about life and about marriage and about children and about discipline. And just about anything that you can tie into having a relationship with God in this world, they are tying into how you, as this presenter, are presenting it to them. And the best way we can do that is in a personally growing relationship with Christ. Now, what I'd love to do, if we had time to do, and what I would do is spread before you a big butcher sheet of paper, and everybody would have markers, and you would draw a picture of what it looks like in your mind for a person to have a growing relationship with God. Since we don't have the paper and the markers, just picture it up here. What does it look like? How can you tell if a person has a growing relationship with Christ? Maybe we can respond to that verbally. How do you know? When you look at somebody and you listen to them and you sit at their feet, how is it that you can tell that they have a growing relationship? Okay, how they respond to challenges, all right? Man, don't have time. All right. high-impact teachers effectively communicate the genuine love that they have for those that they teach. Effectively communicate the genuine love they have for those they teach. Guys, this is not always easy, but you know the connection. We can sum it up in this cliche, right? People don't care how much we know until they know how much we... All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. I got to get out my Bible here so I can read that. Most of you probably already know what it says. If I could speak in any language in heaven or on earth but didn't love others, I would only be making meaningless noise like a loud gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and I knew all the mysteries of the future and knew everything about everything but didn't love others, what good would it be? And if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move, without love, I would be no good to anybody. And if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would be of no value whatsoever. Let's paraphrase this in the context of our teaching. If I could dress up my classroom so that it was the nicest and fanciest looking classroom in the whole church building, but didn't love others, if I could put together the most articulate outline that ever existed, but didn't love others. If I could make a flashy and passionate and powerful presentation, but didn't love others. You can fill in the blank here. Teaching without love is what? Meaningless? Useless? Fill in the blank there with whatever meaningless word you want. Teaching without love is useless. You guys are going to be introduced here to a student named Jerry. You won't see Jerry, but some of you have Jerry in your class.
Before there's money, there's work.
I'm sure Jerry will be very happy here.
He's a good kid.
I missed... Who did that? Jerry, stop it. Jerry, we don't want to see that. Jerry!
Torture.
Jerry! Jerry! Jerry!
Anybody ever had Jerry in your class? Here's a better question. Anybody ever been Jerry in your class? I probably have. All right. What is it like to have students in your class that are difficult to love?
I think it makes you a stronger person. Because you know you have not put that positive influence across you. Or if not, you're going to be in the same shape they are.
Yeah. You have to be a positive influence on them. Otherwise, you'll be in the same shape they are. And that's true. And the reality of it is if we can't love them, then we're reinforcing the idea that they are unlovable. And if we're reinforcing the idea that they're unlovable, they're probably going to continue to do unlovable things. How do you effectively communicate love in a classroom? Whether it's to Jerry or Tom. How do you do that?
I think a lot of times you have to just find some positive thing to do for that person. Because that keeps you from doing the negative. If they're getting positive attention, the negative doesn't show up as much.
Okay.
So just by being an encourager and stay on top of it with being doing positive things.
Okay.
I know that's what's helped me.
All right. What she said is you have to continually find something positive to do for that person and be consistent with that. What I want to emphasize is what something that she said is with that person. Some of you, when we were talking about the characteristics of high impact teacher, of the teacher that you had in mind, one of the things that you said was that they were available to you personally. That makes a difference, doesn't it? When you can find the Jerry in your class, not just Jerry, all of them. If you take the time and the initiative to reach out to them individually and one-on-one and spend the time, it doesn't have to be a lot of time. It just has to be something significant to them personally. Then you're going to make a positive impact in their life. And you'll be doing that. What, did you?
I was just going to say, showing pleasure when they come in the room, that you're glad to see it goes along.
Okay.
And touching.
Yes. What Deanna said is, when they come into the room, show that you're glad that they're there. I mean, I know it's sometimes it's more tempting to go, oh, here we go again. And you know, the Jerrys in our classes don't have to be 5 years old. They can be 50. And they may not be throwing apples. They may be throwing insults or doing something else to damage whatever you're trying to accomplish. I don't know who Jerry is in your class. But there's that idea of whenever they come into the class, pull yourself together enough, as much as it's possible for you to do, to show that you are glad that they are there. And then here's the tough part. Actually be glad that they are there. Because if they can see a genuine enjoyment that you have in their company, in their fellowship, that goes all the way back to number one, doesn't it? That they can see that you have what it takes to build that character within yourself for their sake. Okay. You wanted to add something?
One thing that we do is try to help consistently help them do the right thing.
Yeah. Consistently help them do the right thing. You know, one of the things that I can't remember where Ginger got this. She probably got it from Scott. I know she gets a lot of advice from Scott here. My brother Scott is the education minister at Broken Arrow, and he's the one really that should be up here doing this because he has millions of years of experience. He's not that much, you know, you wouldn't think by looking at him he's that much older than me, but he is. But one of the things my wife does is when she's got a kid in class who dominates for whatever reason, whether they're acting out or maybe talking too much, what she does is she takes that person aside and she says, hey, I need your help. I'm trying to get so-and-so in the class to start speaking out more. Do you think you would mind speaking less so we can try to help them? And so when you collaborate with people, it makes a difference. All right? Number five, high-impact teachers have a working knowledge of what they are teaching. Question. Have you ever had a teacher who did not have a working knowledge of what he or she was trying to teach? What was that like? Chaos? What? Torture? I'm telling you, it probably wasn't just torture for you. It's probably torture for that teacher. Yeah, it's almost like an embarrassment, isn't it? That, man, I'm feeling a little bit of that today. But there's this idea that, you know, oh, I feel so bad for this guy. He's up there trying to talk about something he doesn't know anything about. I've had to substitute for a calculus teacher before. And I just wheeled in the TV and the VCR and said, guys, we're watching, you know, Nemo or something. Because, you know, they'd get more out of that than trying to have me teaching calculus. It'd be a waste of time. How do you think the teacher felt that when you had that experience? What?
Inadequate.
Yeah. It's no fun to feel inadequate, is it? I think this will make a point.
Hi.
Hi.
I was marooned on an island for 5 years with this package. And I swore that I would deliver it to you because I work for FedEx.
Very admirable. Thank you.
Hey, look, by the way, what's in the package?
Nothing really. Just a satellite phone, GPS locator, fishing rod, water purifier, and some seeds. Just silly stuff. Thank you again. You keep up the good work.
For 5 years, he had no working knowledge of what was in that package. If he would have just opened it, life would have been very different for him. His haircut would have been very different. His hygiene would have been very different. All kinds of things about his life would have been very different if he had just opened the package. We have to have a working knowledge of what we're doing. I would do a little self-assessment here. Where is your knowledge right now? How would you rate it? Now, if I had more time than I do, we'd break into groups and share that. We don't, so I'm moving on. I'm skipping that. High-impact teachers are genuinely, this is number six, genuinely enthusiastic. Do you know that the word enthusiasm is a Greek word? And I'm so glad I took 20 hours of Greek at Oklahoma Christian, because now I can share this with you. The word literally means God in you. Enthusiastic literally means God in you. Do you think enthusiasm makes a difference in your classroom? Does enthusiasm make a difference?
Let's get things going here, Gail. Come on. Let's pick up the pace a little. You know the way. Come on, Gail. You know the way to do it. Yeah, just like that, Gail. Just like that. You keep it up. Come on, Gail. Let's hustle, baby. Let's get a move on. Come on. That's the way, baby. Yeah. Come on, Gail. Yeah. Way to go, baby. Let's rock and roll. Yeah, baby. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. That's good.
Now, I don't know if any of you have ever had a bagger at the grocery store that was that enthusiastic. They don't have baggers at the grocery store anymore, do they? But you do? All right. But think about how much of a difference you can make in the lives of your students if you have enthusiasm. Now, I know the temptation is for us to think, I don't have that kind of personality, but what I want to do is share this quote with you. Some of us are tempted to write off enthusiasm because we don't possess a charismatic personality. However, it should be noted that enthusiasm is not just for the sanguine among us. It is our belief that the issue of displaying enthusiasm should transcend personality issues. The fact is, it's possible to have a relatively reserved personality and still, lost my place, effectively communicate a sincere passion and enthusiasm about what we're teaching. Indeed, sometimes the quality of enthusiasm shines forth in magnificent brilliance precisely because it is housed in a normally reserved individual. Okay? Is there anybody you know that's so bubbly all the time you can't ever really tell when they're excited? You can tell in some people's lives, because normally most of us are a little bit more reserved, a little calm. You can tell when we're excited about things. Let your students see your enthusiasm. And number seven, I'm inviting you back tomorrow at 3:00 for number seven, because it is high impact teachers in the church use high impact methods of teaching. That's what I'm going to talk about tomorrow. I don't have time to let you ask me questions, which is okay because I probably don't know the answer. So what I'm going to do is say a prayer and then you'll be dismissed, okay? Father in heaven, thank you for blessing all of us with the best teacher that we could ever have in Jesus Christ, because he was enthusiastic. He had a working knowledge of what he was saying and doing. He had a strong and growing relationship with you. He showed love and compassion and a sincere desire to develop his own spiritual relationship with you, God, in ways that many of us just dream about. Father, thank you for bringing us here today, for bringing us to Tulsa, for giving us an opportunity to be here, to share fellowship with each other. And Father, maybe just a little bit today, to leave here feeling a little bit more encouraged and a little bit more equipped to live and exist and work in our teaching context. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.